Hi everyone, welcome to the Laura Horn Art Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope that you are keeping well. I'm delighted to share with you that today I have a podcast guest. If you often make the excuse that you don't have enough time to make art, you're going to love this episode. I say that because my guest today, Inga Buiva, has mastered the art of painting while her son naps. Originally from Lithuania, Inga moved to the UK with her husband 5 years ago. With a background in graphic design, she found work in an e-learning company and still works in this same company full-time today. 2 years ago, Inga had a baby boy, and it was while on maternity leave that she finally had the courage to start painting and sharing her work online. In this conversation, Inga talks about making art in short bursts, letting go of the pressure to find your style, and the ins and outs of all of her favorite watercolor supplies. If you want to bring more fun and less fear into your creative practice, I encourage you to take a listen. Hi, Inga. How are you?
Oh, hi. I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Oh, it's so lovely to hear your voice. It's bright and early where you are.
Oh, yeah. It's okay. Actually, we used to get up early with a small child.
Oh, okay. Because when I mentioned to you that would it be possible to do it early, I wasn't sure if it was going to suit you, but I'm glad it did.
No, it's absolutely fine.
Well, first of all, I wanted to welcome you to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. I am a huge fan of your work. I absolutely love what you do, and I'm looking forward to getting to know you better and find out more about your creative practice.
Oh, thank you so much. It's such a pleasure and honor because I'm a massive fan of your work and this podcast, and so excited to be here.
Well, what I wanted to do first was I like to kind of take a bit of a step back and get to know how you got started with painting. So if you're happy to tell us a little bit about that journey, that would be brilliant.
Well, I did graduate Art Academy 8 years ago, I think. I did my studies in graphic design and I was taught something we call academic drawing, which is so different from what I do now. And at school, I actually didn't enjoy it that much. I think up till today, I can draw a perfect cube. You're not perfect, nice. But it just was so boring and long and painful to me. And when I discovered computer, as it's a part of my job now, I forgot drawing or painting and doing something with my hands for good, I think. But I always wanted to do that. And it seemed so natural for me to start doing that at some point, like drawing or painting, because it's almost weird, like a designer who cannot draw. But whenever I started, the gap between my taste and my skill was simply too big. When I would start doing sketches, they wouldn't turn out well, and it would so upset me. I think being in the graphic design business for a while, I already knew things that I like, but I just couldn't do it myself.
It's hard, isn't it, when you know, you have very good taste and you know what you want to create, but you just don't yet have the skills and the practice to be able to do it.
Exactly. And it's so hard in the beginning to decide what you want. Painting is so different from my actual job. People probably think that it's a lot more related, but not where I work. And I couldn't decide what and how. And there's so much emphasis on the style of the artist. Yeah, I think when you're just starting out or just when you decide to start out, and then how would you even think of a style? It's so hard.
Yeah, and there is a lot of emphasis and almost like a pressure these days to have a style figured out quite early on.
Yeah, I think lots of young artists, I get asked a lot about my style. I'm not sure I have it, but I get asked about my style. And I think, oh, no, don't think about the style just yet. I mean, it's too much pressure. You would lose enjoyable part of the painting if you start thinking about style too early.
So you mentioned before that you had this gap in your skills. What did you do about that in order to kind of overcome that challenge?
I started watching lots of classes. So first of all, how I started painting, I found this Onmar class on Skillshare. And what was very revolutionary idea to me is when she was talking through her art practice and her sketchbooks and how she approaches the art practice from this place of fun, not fair. And I think that fair and art would go hand in hand in my life, because I used to work with the pressure of deadlines in graphic design. And it was so natural that creativity and fear is always so close. But then I thought that, oh, this could be something I can do just for myself and shouldn't be bothered about result or style or being original at all. I just can do it for the process, for meditation of it. And when I decided that for myself, I think then beautiful things started happening. She was talking also how she didn't feel too precious about her sketches, and because she was doing it every day, it was quite easy, because you spend 10 minutes in a day like painting, but if it doesn't go well, next day you got a chance to do something better. And I thought, oh, that was genius, actually, because quantity is a quality too. Like in time it becomes quality.
If you're working on lots of pieces, you just don't get so attached and precious about each individual one, do you?
Yeah, I think so. And because you don't get attached, you don't have this disappointment when you invest yourself in one big piece, and especially in the beginning, probably it won't go that well.
Did you start with watercolor or drawing, or what was your first kind of medium that you used when you began painting?
I started with watercolor, and it's probably because there were so many classes on Skillshare on watercolor, and I had this set, and all the other mediums didn't suit me at the time. So I started painting when I was on my maternity leave. It was 2.5 years ago. All circumstances falling into right place, I started having a bit of time for myself when my boy was around 5 months, and started having a more nice sleeping routine. And watercolor just was media where you can really quickly do something. Because of lack of time, I would need sometimes just 10 minutes to finish a sketch. And if you take large brush, it's totally doable. And also comparing to other paints, it didn't smell. I used to work around baby all the time. So I didn't want to open like toxic paints, and sleeping baby just beside me would be probably not the right way. And also pencils may be more approachable than watercolor, but I imagine it would take lots of time for me. So yeah, watercolor was the first media, but I immediately fell in love with it. And I think when I started, I always think that I'm doing great, even though I didn't. But sometimes I feel that watercolor would do a job for me. So I think that was part of motivation, that I was always happy with everything.
Watercolor is such a magical medium in that way, isn't it? Like sometimes you can just splash a bit of paint down and it puddles and it just looks beautiful. And as you say, it's almost like it's doing the work for you.
Yes, and all those happy accidents.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I love watercolor too. And as you said, it's well suited if you don't have big blocks of time, or maybe you've got young children and you just want something that you can quickly get into. And, you know, it's easy to clean up. There's a lot of good things about using watercolor.
Yeah, it's very accessible. A bit expensive now, I figured out.
I'm very curious about what your favorite supplies are when it comes to watercolor. I've been looking forward to kind of digging into this with you. So what do you like to use in your paintings?
I use tubes of paints, and I used to use Winsor & Newton watercolors in the beginning, just because I had them. It was present from my husband a long, long time ago. They were just waiting for me to finally open the box. But then I started experimenting a bit with colors, and I've got Daniel Smith watercolors from the art shop. And I immediately fell in love with colors. I used to mix my colors a lot. Sometimes I wouldn't be able to trace back my steps most of the times. But then with Daniel Smith, I was just so surprised that some of the colors are ready to go and I don't need to do that hard work of mixing. And now I mix colors a lot less. I still mix them because when I have some green, let's say, and want to do painting with lots of green, I wouldn't go with just one color. I wouldn't do like a crazy alchemy of mixing with million colors. I would just try to mix maybe two close colors, two greens, let's say, or green and blue. Yeah, Daniel Smith, it's my absolutely favorite color. When it comes to paper, cold press, arches paper, sometimes even rug, I like texture. I like because my painting relies on bleed and it doesn't dry as quickly as hot press. And I like texture, like textures in general in painting.
I love the cold press paper as well, with all the texture is really nice. And Daniel Smith too, I'm a big fan as well. Do you have a few favorite colors that you can share with us?
The color that is my absolute favorite, I immediately thought that it was my color. It's pearline green.
That's so interesting because I only added that to my collection recently, and it is such a gorgeous dark. But yeah, it's just such a lovely green.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I always like to have very deep and dark colors in my painting as a contrast to something light. And I always feel that I don't have dark enough colors. And sometimes I would go over layers just to get it darker. So Perlin's green was finally that darkness that I needed. Indigo color, I love it. I don't use it on its own. I mix it with other colors. I love neutral tint. It's also by Daniel Smith. It looks like black, but it's not black. It has a bit of purple undertone. And I use it on its own. I mix it with other colors to make them darker. It goes with everything. There is deep gold that I also... they all by Daniel Smith.
Do you use gouache at all, or is it just watercolor?
Oh yeah, I do use gouache, but I don't do whole painting in gouache. Sometimes I go over the watercolor painting when I want white lines, or maybe I feel like I've put so much dark in one place, and then I need a bit of lightness. And you can't go back with watercolor. You can't put light over dark. So I use gouache for this purpose.
You just mentioned the white lines, and that's actually something I was going to ask you about, because I get a lot of questions about how do you put those white lines into watercolor paintings. And I was having a look at your work, and you often add little details like that, particularly when you're doing botanicals and stuff. Do you use gouache or do you use paint pens?
Most of the time I use Posca pen.
Yeah.
I think it's the best. Also, I think I've discovered it on Skillshare class, and comparing to white gel pens, they are practically invisible. With this Posca pen, it's so solid. It works great. But sometimes I wouldn't put white lines and I go for more creamy or ochre color, and then I use gouache.
I use Posca pens as well. I've found them the best, and I've tried all sorts of different white pens, and sometimes, like you say, they kind of just like absorb into the paper, into the painting, and they don't stand out. But the Posca pens seem to hold up pretty well.
Yeah, exactly.
Having a look at your work, you cover quite a lot of different, I guess, types, or what would you say, like subject matter? So sometimes you do botanical work, but sometimes it's like little like moons and other things like acorns and all sorts of natural elements too. How do you decide what you're going to work on?
It comes naturally. It just, I always I'm interested in so many things, and I can't settle. And I think it comes from my, again, design background, where the ability to be flexible in styles and topics, it's really valued in the day-to-day job, because you've got clients and they all different with different topics, different products, different branding. And I think when it comes to my painting practice, I'm still a bit of a designer who wants to do it all. And just, I can't do one thing. I quickly get bored and then just want to try new things.
Your work does have a very sort of strong, cohesive feel, even though you do try out different things, and you can see that you're experimenting and playing and exploring different aspects to your art. But it all ties together. What do you think helps for it to have that cohesive feel?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for that, because I always have worry that my works look like different people, because I'm trying to do so much on purpose. So try to repeat some of the brush marks, mark makings, to keep cohesive feel. But even that doesn't help them sometimes. In terms of colors, even though I use many different colors, I don't have like very established color palette, but most of the time it's still, they come from the same colors. I have my favorites and I just do different mixes with them. Maybe that works as well.
Yeah, because I feel like there's a color story happening there that's quite strong in your work, which helps it to be recognizable. And the palettes are beautiful. There's kind of like a moodiness to them. And I'm wondering if that's because those colors that you love are often those darker colors, like the indigo and the perylene green. And it gives it a very rich quality, which can be hard sometimes with watercolor, because it lightens up as it dries.
Yeah, it breaks my heart.
That's why I love some of those colors that you mentioned, like indigo and the perylene green, because they're super dark. And I relate to what you're saying, because when I'm choosing colors, I choose the darkest ones that I can find a lot of the time. Because with watercolor, you can add water and you can get, you know, the different transparencies, but you can't make it darker.
Yeah, exactly. It's so easy to make a color light. But then I feel like if I get the contrast right, then I'm taking advantage of watercolor. It's not fun to paint in mid-tones with media that has such an ability to go from very light to very dark. Probably gouache would be a lot easier to manage when it comes to color mixing and everything, if you want like a more flat color. But with watercolor, it's really fun when you actually can make those gradients from light to dark.
Well, that's what makes watercolor so beautiful, and the layering that you get and all the different variations in there, so that it's you know, like you say, it's not flat like gouache. It's got all this depth to it. So when you work, do you work in several layers? Is that how you build up your paintings?
I start with just one layer, but then I would, when it dries, and then I would go over the places when I think it needs a bit more dark color, a bit more contrast. Also, if I paint flowers, obviously they need the middle of the flower stamen, I think. Mm-hmm. It is. So I would go over and do that, or I put white vein lines over leaves, but I don't do like crazy layering. It probably would more like relatable to realistic style of painting, but I usually just splash paints, and then with the second or third layer, just to add some details or fix things that not quite there yet.
And when you work, do you work on one piece at a time to completion, or do you work on several pieces and bounce between them?
I work on several pieces, but mainly because I don't have time to finish one piece. Well, I go to work and I don't paint on weekdays, only on weekends. And I always paint when my boy is sleeping. Usually it's 2 to 3 hours. So I would start several paintings, but then I can finish them off maybe next week. And it's actually, it works really well because after a week, I can have a look with a fresh pair of eyes and decide whether the painting is good at all and what it needs to be finished. Sometimes finish three paintings next week. And yeah, I just don't have time to wait till it's dry. But I'm quite relaxed about this. I actually have half finished paintings everywhere, but I like it.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, but that makes a lot of sense then if your time is short and then you don't have that pressure either. So you can just do a session with a few, leave them to dry. And then when you come back, you've got, as you said, fresh eyes and you've got options. You can pick one that you want to work on and take it to the next level. So in doing it that way, you bring a lot of freedom and I guess take the pressure off your practice so that you can really enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. And it also, I always have something to work on. And sometimes when I'm not feeling like starting anything new, I just can finish off my old painting and still get result and be happy about it.
I'm curious as to how your paintings have changed or grown, I guess, how your creative practice has grown over time. Because you mentioned at the beginning that you weren't very happy with the results you were getting. How has that changed?
Well, when I'm looking at my first paintings, it did change a lot. Maybe the topic I more settled to making botanicals or everything around botanical. In the beginning, I was trying more different things. It got better naturally, and I think anyone would. It's just a matter of practice. I started noticing things that I like color palettes. In the beginning, I would make maybe flowers pink and leaves green. But now I approach from a different angle. I would choose colors that I like and wouldn't be bothered that flower need to be like flower color. I look at the painting more like a color blobs and composition rather than making something that is in real life. So basically, flowers to me are just blobs of colors that I like to rearrange.
I love the way that you've described that. And that was helpful for you to make that shift from thinking about it as having to be, you know, a flower that's pink with the leaves, this, and to then changing your perspective to it being blobs and splashes and shapes. And
yeah, I felt so much freedom because I realized I can do whatever I want. And it's so much easier to craft a good composition when I don't have to think whether that pink flower would go well here. It was great when I discovered that I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, that you have that freedom to choose what colors that you love. And it looks like your work has become a bit more abstract over time. I mean, everything that you do is recognizable, but there's kind of like a looser feel to some of your more recent botanicals that I've had a look at. So is that a direction that you're exploring, or has that just happened without you even realizing?
It's probably both. I never intended to do more like realistic art, but in the beginning, there are so many things to manage, and I thought that it was harder to explore. As time went by, it became easier and easier just to put intuitive brush strokes. After time, I built up confidence in painting, and I can do many things without thinking, whether in the beginning I would have to overthink everything, like every brush stroke. It both comes naturally, but it's also a choice that I've made to explore this field, and especially how I said that they are just blobs of color.
That's what led me to the question, because you were talking about it in that kind of abstract way of, you know, blobs and shape and space. And then I was thinking, yeah, your work has become sort of looser and freer. So it's, you can see that approach has changed and there's a confidence there as well.
When I dropped looking at the real-time photographs or flowers, it also helped. Whenever I looked at photographs, I would replicate the flower too much. But then when I made this choice that I will just paint from my imagination, but my imagination can handle the shape of flower. So I would just go with a very simple shape. And I think that also had this push towards a more abstract feel.
So is there any particular new direction or something that you've discovered recently that you are excited about?
New direction? Well, probably my paintings are what they are. And I don't know where my art practice will take me. Probably that's the beauty of it, because I don't want to overthink, but I really like how it is now, that they are more abstract, and I will work towards that. Probably I won't go too abstract. I will still try to push shapes to recognizable objects. I don't know, it's easier for me to have something more tangible, more relatable in real life, but I definitely gonna keep the loose style and not realistic colors.
Are you is there something that you're going to be working on this weekend? Have you got paintings to start, or are you going to pick up some that you are halfway through and finish them off?
Yeah, I'm gonna pick up something I am halfway through. Maybe I will do more paintings in that style. Like my every painting, it is a ground for a next painting. Sometimes you can feel that looking at my Instagram post. Every next painting has something similar to the previous one.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like it's like you're kind of like continuing on a journey. So you take something from the painting that you've just finished and kind of bring it into the next one.
Yeah. And I think because I've done so many paintings, I like to look at my own paintings and my sketches and then figure out what I've liked and try to repeat it in the next one. And that really helps me, because if I would start from the place where every time I need to create again something completely new, it probably would be too hard and too stressful. But then I'm surrounded by many paintings and I can choose, oh, I like the part of this one that I can explore more. And sometimes I even look at something I've done maybe a year ago, try to recreate it, but with more recent approach. And because I've changed, the painting change as well.
That's a really helpful tip, to look at your old work in order to kind of give you ideas and provide momentum for your new work. Because as you mentioned, there's so much choice. It's so easy to get overwhelmed and pulled in different directions, especially when you're just starting out. I really love the way you describe it. It's almost like there's a thread between your paintings and you're keeping them connected in that way. I think that's a wonderful way to approach it.
I think it's very natural. It's not a choice, but when you explore one thing and you think that, oh, I just discovered something great and I want to do more of it, and then you discover something else, it comes very naturally from the practice.
I'm wondering, you mentioned before that you have a fairly short space of time to make art when your son is napping. Do you make art at all during the week, or is it just a weekend thing for you?
Yeah, it's just a weekend thing, unfortunately.
Yeah, because you have so many paintings. It would be easy, I think, for someone who's looking perhaps at your Instagram page to assume that you're working on your art every day or most days. But that's not the reality, is it?
No, and I posting only once a week, I think. But I have a lot more paintings that I post. I just try to post something I like at the time. I think what helped me in the beginning, that when I was on the maternity leave, I actually painted every single day for maybe solid 7 months. And I got into the flow. Probably if I wouldn't do that at the time, I would quit painting. In over 100 days, I just had the solid habit, and now it's a lot easier to me to get into flow, even in those short periods of time. But I paint quick. All of my paintings, they are very loose, and you can actually craft a bouquet like this in like in quite short period of time. And I think I can do 3 to 6 paintings per weekend, and I wouldn't post them all, but just once a week when I feel happy about it. And probably it looks that I paint a lot more, but I don't at the time.
Well, you've built up a brilliant habit from your maternity leave as far as how you work. So when you were on maternity leave, assuming that these paintings were happening when your child was sleeping, is that how, or were you able to just work it around having a little one?
Yeah, that was actually how it worked. Well, he was sleeping a lot, and he was so sensitive that I wouldn't be able to do anything else. If I started to tidying up, he would wake up and I would have to go back to feeding and putting him down. But then I had this dedicated space, a table next to bed. Even when I would rinse my brush too loudly, he would wake up. So I really learned to work quietly with no music. I probably would enjoy to listen to music while painting, but couldn't afford that at the time. But he was napping quite a lot, and I would just paint all the time.
Wow, so you couldn't even do cleaning and stuff like that if you wanted to.
Yeah.
So it worked out
well.
That
was a good excuse.
So you were painting every day while you were on maternity leave. What was it like then to go back to work and not have that time to paint during the week anymore?
Yeah, it was a bit stressful change, because by the time I built this habit, I loved painting so much. I felt that it's such a big part of me. The part that probably was there but just waited to be discovered, and I finally discovered it, and it was hard to let it go. But then things just sorted themselves naturally, because I still had to go to work, and it's something I had to do and couldn't choose. But I tried to keep my practice as much as I could. And the first year, my mom lived with us, and she helped with the baby, so it was a bit easier. Now she's left, and I have even less time, but things happen gradually. I gradually started having less and less time, so it wasn't change in a day. But I adjust to what I have, and it's okay.
Well, it sounds like you have good kind of routines and rhythms, so that you had that while you were on maternity leave, but then now you've set it up in such a way that you can do it on the weekend and maintain that momentum in your practice.
Well, it's because painting is really important to me. It's a high priority still. And when I discovered painting, I think I just started feeling happier. It has such a good impact on my mental state, and I just don't want to lose it anymore.
How does it feel when you don't paint for a while? So if life gets in the way and you haven't painted for a few weeks, does that even happen, or are you always making sure?
No, it does happen, and more often than I want. And then I start losing it. When I don't paint for a while, I don't want to get back to painting. I start overthink what was great when I painted every day. I wouldn't feel pressured at all. When I have a very small gap, when I can paint, I start putting too much like thoughts that this needs to be now something fantastic. I can't fail. I can't do something ugly. Like after 2 weeks of not painting, I think that, but I haven't painted for 2 weeks, probably it won't go well and I'll just waste my time, and I don't want to get upset. But then there's another thing that comes as motivation to me, is probably Instagram. Then I think that, I need to post something. I want to keep my account going. Maybe it's not the best place to start painting for posting. But then by the end of the day, I still paint. And then when I start painting, it feels great. And it doesn't matter what motivated me, because I still got this enjoyable part of it.
Well, it's like an accountability partner, isn't it? Like, it's, as you say, it's a motivation that gets you painting. And then once you start painting, it becomes not necessarily about Instagram anymore. It's just you're at your table doing your thing, enjoying yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think, oh, why didn't I do that? It feels so great.
I find that when I've taken a break from painting, initially I'm like, oh, you know, this is fine. And then after a week or two, I just start feeling really like down and out of sorts. And I just don't feel happy. And then when I go back to painting, sometimes it's hard to get into it. But then when I'm into it, I'm like, ah, this is why. This is why I paint.
it's the same.
It's like some kind of therapy of sorts, in a way, that helps you to feel good.
I feel like starting with small steps also help. If I start having this fear of painting of the empty sheet of paper, I would just do a small sketch on the small piece of paper, a test a color, try to do maybe a leaf or a flower with that color. And then now I really, really feel urged to paint because I already put a brush stroke on the paper.
Yeah, just making those first few splashes and strokes to just get things going. And then after that, things tend to just take over, don't they?
Yeah. you can't control it.
So you mentioned Instagram as a motivator. You post on Instagram regularly. I'm not sure when your Instagram account started. Did you start posting on Instagram when you first started painting, or did that come later?
Almost the same time. So when I started, I was doing loads of classes and tutorials. And then I would get carried away and try to do something my own. And maybe I did that for maybe like 2 months. And after that, when I felt more confident of doing my own things, not something I repeated from the class, I started posting. It was 2 years ago. Actually, 2 days ago was the day when I bought my sketchbook and started posting every day. I started this 100-day project.
You did the 100-day project?
Yeah. I started with that project. And the feeling of responsibility that it's a 100-day project, you cannot miss a day, got me into a habit as well.
That's interesting that you participated in the 100-day project, and how much that's helped you as far as building a regular creative habit.
Yeah, it did help me. I would recommend to everyone, especially when you feel pressured about what you're doing, and you do it for 100 days, probably won't be too attached to your sketches. It's just 100, it's a lot.
And were you painting a complete painting for each day of that project?
Yeah, but they were really small sketches. And sometimes they would only take 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, that's key, I think, with the 100-day project, because a lot of people, I think, are just starting one now in the last few days. So there might be people listening to this episode that are in the midst of the 100-day project. But that's a good tip, just to keep it small so that you can manage it in maybe 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, I also had the small sketchbook. Nothing big would fit in the page. So even if it were a couple of leaves for that day or a couple of blooms, that was fine. But it still stretched the creative muscle and got into that habit of not being afraid of painting.
And so you started then sharing your 100-day project on Instagram?
Yes. Yeah. I wasn't an active Instagram user at all. I had my account, had my dog and my baby in it, maybe 10 photographs. I used it for filters so I can repost to Facebook where my friends are. But on Instagram, I didn't have even 50 followers. I didn't. My friends all on Facebook for some reason. Maybe it's the matter of generation. I don't know.
Yeah, my friends are all on Facebook too, so I know what you mean. Did I get this right? You said you started your Instagram account about 2 years ago? Right. And you, so you back then you had about 50 followers on Instagram, and
something like that.
And look at you now, you have nearly 100,000 followers on Instagram.
Yeah, it somehow it built up.
It sure did build up. You must have been pretty blown away to see how your following grew in a very quick space of time.
I was, but it took time. It still took time. Like in the beginning, no one would follow me at all. And when I started posting, I didn't know how Instagram worked at all. And I thought that if I start posting, probably people will come and follow me, because why wouldn't they? But I didn't realize that when you post on your feed, your works are not exposed to more people. And at the beginning, no one would follow me. But that didn't matter. I still pretended that I have followers and I'm responsible entertaining them. And that was great. I sometimes feel like I was happier then with my few followers who would show up for me and I would show up for them. They had the small community and I could manage a lot better. And I never had this feeling that I need to grow, that I need crazy account. It just happened over time. But I'm happy. I'm so grateful that people are there and I can share my art with them. It's a great feeling.
Was there any point during the 2 years where your account started to grow faster? Or as you mentioned, like it takes time. So I'm curious, you know, how did that happen for you? Was it slow, and then it eventually sort of grew? Or I don't know. Instagram's such a mystery, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes we think that we figured out, but it proves us wrong. I think massive breakthrough was when my work were featured in art accounts, like Illustration Now and Tempura Design. So when I was featured there, people started following me. And I think how Instagram algorithm work, that likes you get, your work is exposed to larger audience. So I think once I've got some followers, it was easier to reach more people, and it just escalated.
Do you find it's difficult now to manage your Instagram, that now that it's grown to that bigger size where you can't comment on every comment and those sorts of things that you might have done at the beginning?
Yeah, absolutely. It breaks my heart. I would love to comment back to everyone. But the thing is that I really cannot do that. And same with DMs, because there are so many and the complex questions. And now I'm trying to answer the questions on my feed or in my stories. But when I was trying to do it, reply to everyone, at some point I found myself that all I do is spending time on Instagram. But it was back on my maternity leave when I was back to work. I don't have choice. It's something I'm not able to do that, even if I wanted to.
It reaches a point, doesn't it, where it's like, well, it's not an option anymore.
It's just, yeah, it's physically impossible.
Well, congratulations on such a beautiful account. I love going over and having a look at all your photos and your artwork, but your photos as well are absolutely beautiful. Have you got skills in that area as well, photography?
Oh, thank you so much. I don't have skills, but...
Of course you do have skills. That was a really silly question. But anyway, I'm just curious about how you approach that side of Instagram.
I think that it's also something that became easier in time with practice and making some intentional choices. If you scroll down my feed, you will see so many inconsistencies. And it's, again, the part of me that refused to settle. I would go with this rustic feel, but then I realized that, well, that's not actually me. And now I'm going for this more clean feel with my backgrounds and because my paintings, they have different color palettes and I won't be able to create cohesive feel just posting my paintings. They all so different. And then I decided to make at least backgrounds the same colors, so they bring a bit more consistency.
That's something that I struggle with, is the chopping and changing as far as like what backgrounds I use for my photos. And sometimes it's, yeah, I completely relate to what you're saying.
but it's also fun. I think that we probably shouldn't restrict ourselves with what we do. And that's now a rule for life. It's so much fun when you change things and experiment. And who cares what was a year ago? It's more important what is now. And if you need to change it again, why not?
So you take a pretty relaxed approach with it all, as far as how you present things. Like, you're mindful of it, it sounds like, but you are happy to just experiment and do what you're enjoying at that time.
Yeah, because I always feel that you can do things better, and why settle with something you don't enjoy anymore?
There'll be a lot of people listening who are just getting started with watercolor. There's a bit of a learning curve with how it all works. That frustration that you described at the beginning, it's something that I hear a lot of people say, or they might say, you know, how do I get better? Like, how do I improve and get a handle on this? Have you got any tips or ideas that might help people who are just beginning on their journey and have that gap that we were talking about?
I have this funny story, actually. I've read it in the book. I don't remember the name of the artist, but it was quite established modern artist who had this style as if he doesn't know how to draw. He would draw stick figures all the time. And I guess the idea behind his art was more important. And he was very appreciated for that style. But in time, it was harder and harder for him to keep that naive style. He just naturally became better at drawing, even though he's tried to avoid it. And I think if we all just believe that we will become better if we just show up, it's something you can't choose, you can't avoid. And I think if we believe that this will happen for us, it's a lot easier to just keep going. I know that lots of people are saying that, oh, you just need to practice. But at the beginning, it's really hard. You practice, but nothing happening. But it will happen for everyone. I'm so sure of it. If you just make it as easy as possible for you, like I had dedicated place. I wouldn't even change my water cans. It would always stand on my table with dirty water because I didn't even have time or energy to do that. But it doesn't matter. I would paint with dirty water. I would always have a sketchbook opened on my table. Sometimes I would pass by and just put a brush stroke because they were calling for me supplies. I think because they were so approachable. So if easy as possible for you to approach, and just believe that if you did every day, if you show up, you'll get better. And probably at the beginning, especially, you shouldn't be too stressed about the style or being original. Sometimes original won't necessarily be good. Maybe try to follow some tutorials or classes and do what other people do. And then in time, you will naturally just start making your choices with your palettes, your topics, shapes will come naturally to you, I think.
Well, thank you so much, Inga, because that is such good advice. And I particularly like how you talked about, so often you hear practice, but it's more than practice. Listening to what you've said, it's about the trust as well. So you're at the practice, but then trusting that you will get there and making it easy for yourself and not stressful. So there's a whole lot of things you mentioned there that when you combine together really help. So thank you.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. And it's been lovely chatting with you.
Yeah, it was my pleasure.
So I hope that you have a lovely day and enjoy your weekend and get some painting done.
Oh, thank you. Take care and stay safe.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, what a beautiful, brave, inspirational woman. I'm so glad that Inga agreed to come on the podcast and share her story. I know that she was a bit hesitant at first. English is not her first language, but she did such an incredible job and shared so much wisdom. She is so humble. I don't know how to put it into words. I just want to say thank you, Inga, and I hope that you'll join me with that and share this podcast. Make sure that you tag Inga when you're sharing stories over on Instagram, and make sure you're following her if you're not following her already. Her Instagram handle is at Inga Buiva, and I'll spell that for you. It's at INGA full stop BUIVE. Go over and check it out. You will not be disappointed. So thanks everyone for listening, and I hope that you'll join us again next week.